God gave me this word for you all. Guard your heart. If you guard your heart, I will guard everything. Your heart have eyes. The eyes of your heart speaks of what? Vision, imagination. So the way to overcome a negative imagination is to have a better imagination. You fill your heart by spending time in the Word, by reading, by filling your imagination until your insight becomes a new picture. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever! Can you see it? Can you see it? My dear friends, today I want to share with you something that is on my heart. The Lord has been speaking to me, and He has placed in me a strong desire to see the gospel of grace go out stronger, louder, and faster than ever before. As such, my team and I are taking a big step of faith to change the way we have been publishing my sermons, books, and teaching resources. To begin with, I'll be making my latest sermons freely available on YouTube. I will also be making some of my books like Destined to Reign and Healing Scriptures completely free for those who request for it. Our Hazon vision is to find sustainable ways to make more and more of my books and teaching resources free for people who need it. If you'd like to join me in fulfilling this great call to see many precious lives gloriously transform across the globe, I would like to invite you to sign up for one of our subscription plans at gospelpartner.com. As you can imagine, this is not just a regular subscription plan. In addition to having access to more than 1,000 sermons in the Joseph Prince app, you'll be making a direct impact on advancing the gospel of grace. Your subscription will help us reach more and more people with free teaching resources, books, and sermons translated into multiple languages. I would greatly appreciate all of your prayers and partnership as we make this bold move to see the gospel of grace advance with greater acceleration in these last days. I'm really excited for the future, and I just want to share with you this portion of scripture from Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. To find out more, visit gospelpartner.com. I can't wait for you to redeem your one-month free subscription and begin accessing over 1,000 sermons. Thank you for your partnership, and God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. So wonderful to share good news in the house of the Lord. And so wonderful to listen to good news in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, church, we have three testimonies to share with you out of the many testimonies that have come in over the past couple of weeks. And the first testimony comes to us from a brother from Singapore. And he writes that lately, I had been experiencing pain in my ankle. Whenever I turned it to a certain degree, I would feel a sharp pain. At times when I walked, my ankle would hurt, and this affected me. As a result, I decided to stop going for runs in hope that the pain would go away before my next individual physical proficiency test, otherwise known as IPPT. All the brothers would know that very well. On Resurrection Sunday, I attended the second service at the Star Performing Arts Center. When Pastor Prince asked for the people to receive their healing, I felt my ankle get better. That night, my friends started sharing their healing testimonies, and I was encouraged. See, when you share your testimonies with one another, even your friends get encouraged. So this brother was encouraged when his friends started sharing their healing testimonies. So he was encouraged, and he said, I decided to check my ankle and started rotating it and jumping around. Praise the Lord, the pain was all gone. Hallelujah. So wonderful. And I rejoice with this brother because now he can take his IPPT without pain. Hallelujah. My next testimony comes to us from a brother from Australia. And he writes that I've been suffering from back pain for a number of years. During the pandemic, my condition worsened as I had to sit in front of my computer for hours. How many of us can identify with that? for these past 2 years. While the pain would come and go over the past couple of weeks, it became an issue for me. Even walking to my car, from my car to the front door, was a challenge. During Resurrection Sunday, I stood up when Pastor Prince prayed for the congregation to receive their healing. Though I did not feel any warm sensation, I decided to test my condition. I started bending over, twisting my body, jumping and running around my living room. He did not mention whether he did cartwheels or somersaults, right? But he started twisting his body, jumping, running around the living room. There was no more pain. God has healed me. I'm in awe of what God has done for me. I'm so grateful to Him. All glory to Him. And thank you, Pastor Prince. Hallelujah. So this brother received his healing, right? While he was watching the online service in the living room. So if you're watching this online, you can receive your healing and breakthrough as well. Amen? All right, the final testimony comes to us from a brother from Taiwan. And he writes that, "I had been struggling with depression, addictions, and fear since young. When I was in high school, I got saved. However, the teachings that I received were a mixture of law and grace. I found myself often burdened to obey God's commandments. No matter how hard I tried, I would experience failure again and again. I regarded myself as a disqualified Christian, and this affected my marriage. I spent 13 years at odds with my wife, and finally, I decided to leave home and contemplated a divorce. But God kept speaking to me in amazing ways through Pastor Prince's sermons. I learned that I'm a joint heir with Christ and a royal priesthood. I also discovered that God loves me, and this has nothing to do with what I have done. I started to proclaim that I am righteous in Christ, and unconsciously, I was set free from depression, addictions, and fear." He was delivered unconsciously. Wow. "One day, a video popped up on my phone screen. It was a message by Pastor Prince on the year of the latter rain, which was in 2019, our theme of the year. When I saw a picture of a family reunion, I started to cry and looked forward to receiving my own family miracle. Incredibly, my wife and I met 2 days later in January this year. After 14 months of separation, God changed our hearts. God didn't just fix our marriage, He gave us a better one. This is the first time we feel peace, love, and joy in our marriage. We are falling in love again. Everything seems incredible and like a dream. Praise God and thank you, Pastor Prince." Praise the Lord for this wonderful testimony of a marriage restored. Amen? Praise the Lord. And what God did for them, God can do for you as well. And right now, church, please join me as we welcome Pastor Prince.
Praise the Lord. What a wonderful testimony, amen? Isn't God good, church? You know what God does for all these precious people means so much to them if you are the one going through it, amen? And the whole purpose for us sharing miracles like this is a miracle, especially instantaneous is a miracle. How many know that? It's so that you can find courage, hope, that if you are going through the same thing, or you know someone who is going through the same thing, there's hope. Amen? The world is so full of hopelessness, negativism, pessimism. Everything seems dark. And the more you look at the world, the more depressed you become. You know, we have devices that 100 years ago, they would die for. Our grandparents would go to the cinemas and never dream that one day we can see all the favorite actors and players on screen in our hand. We can communicate without having to go to the phone booth. Even the greatest man, Superman at the time, can't do that. Right? I mean, he can go there but get change. But he doesn't have a instant communication. We have. Think about all the devices we have. Solomon will give a part of his wisdom to get all that you have. And yet, we are one of the most unhappy people on earth of any generation. You go to a simple village, and I encourage you to, in our mission trip, You see all the children playing without their Pokemon and Minecraft and Nintendo Switch and all the modern games that we have. And you see them happy. You see the children happy with a simple stone or a piece of branch. Have we become a people with a sense of entitlement that after we get one, we want some more? You know, we crave what we can't attain. And we discredit what we have. It's human nature. We long for, we appreciate very much the things or the people that we cannot have or attain. But we are most discourteous to the people that we loved. You know, we are more polite to strangers. Pastor Prince, say hello lah before you say all these things. This is the hello. It's preparing us to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us today, so that we appreciate what we have. Amen. Watch out for the tendency to be more kind and polite to strangers who really don't care about you, but you discredit and you underappreciate the people that you love. Because we tend to treat the people that we love as ourselves. So it shows that we don't really care much about ourselves. We despise ourselves. So we feel like our loved ones are also the same. But friend, this tendency has got to die at the cross in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So turn to your loved one, your family member, whoever it is. Amen. Say, I love you and I appreciate you. Amen. If you are dating, go by the Spirit. And the greatest gift that God has given us is His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, think about it. We are people, we are saved. We are saved. We know Him who loves us. We have found someone who loves us regardless. And, you know, we are not made righteous in God's eyes by what we do, by our works. Even until today, believers are not justified by your efforts or by your doings, but by Jesus. He is our righteousness. You know, last night I came before the Lord and I just told the Lord, Lord, at whatever level of walk I'm in with the Lord, I still tell the Lord, Lord, it's not my doings, it's not my works. Jesus, Father, Jesus is my righteousness. Father, Jesus is my righteousness. And then all of a sudden, there comes a sense of like, if it's Jesus and it's His righteousness, how can God withhold any blessing from you? There comes that sense. So just a while right now, believers who know this, amen, it is not your doing, it's not your works. Declare this with me. Father God, I thank you that Jesus Christ is my righteousness. Your beloved Son, all that He is, you've credited to my account. You've imputed to me. Because on that cross, Jesus became sin with my sins, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Thank you, Father. Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is the measure of my right standing before you. Wow. Do you feel that? Do you feel that? You see, when you pray like that, before you make your request before God, when you come to God's presence, once in a while, it's good to remind yourself of this. Amen. Then there comes that faith, because you know it's based on Jesus. And really see that. Amen. See that. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you very much. We might meet you guys at the end. Okay? Only at the end. The end is the best part. Thank you. Give them a good hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good to see all of you once again. You know, it is something that I will never get tired of saying because, you know, like I said just now, we crave what we can't attain and we discredit what we have. Even pastors and leaders or bosses and people like that, you know, we all can come to a place, even leaders, where we don't disdain, but we forget to appreciate what we have. Amen. I appreciate all of you very much. Amen. And how many of you appreciate the corporate gathering of God's people? And we also want to welcome those online who are watching. And we appreciate you also. But you know, there's something about being in the house of God, corporately, physically, that you can't experience at home. So after 2 years of that, you know, it is like running with weights on. You know, when you run with weights on your ankles, you know that feeling? All right, after a year of doing that, and then they take the weights off, how do you feel? That's how I feel. That's how I feel. So for the next 3 hours, for the next 3 hours, we're going to have Genesis to Maps. Amen. All the way. And it's going to be a tag team with Pastor Mark, Pastor Lawrence. How about that? Y'all willing? Like Israel was taken captive for 70 years in Babylon. Because of what? Idolatry. The main sin that caused that captivity was idolatry. You see, even when they were sinning, they were still offering burnt offerings. As long as they worshiped the true God, they were offering the sin offering, and the sin offering covered their sins. Of course, the sin offering is only a picture. It's a shadow of the real offering, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But as long as they were offering sin offerings and they were offering trespass offerings, God overlooked their sins. Back then, God overlooked because it's only the blood of the Lamb. For us, God doesn't overlook. The sin has been removed, y'all. It's removed from your life. I mean, God doesn't play around with words. When God says the sin has been removed, the Lamb of God has removed your sin, it's like, you know, you have a stain, let's say there's a ink here. All right, I just accidentally used my pen and now there's a blotch of ink. Right? What do? I cover. Now, this is called atone in the Hebrew. Atone means cover. The mercy seat is called covering seat. It's a cover sin. But below is still there. But God doesn't see the sin as long as the mercy seat covers it. The blood is on the mercy seat and the blood covers the sin. So every year, right, year after year after year, until Jesus came. And that's the reason why John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away, not cover, takes away the sin of the world." Amen. Finally, you can open up your jacket and you know, people look at you, the sin is gone. Now, I'm not saying we are sinless. There's still sin in our flesh. But I'm saying before God, there's no sin on us. You understand? The way God sees, there's no sin on us, absolutely. Though there's still sin in us. And we all know that. And that will change only when we have a new glorified body. Amen? So, as long as Israel was offering the sin offering, God overlooked all that they did. Though they were transgressions. Amen? Though they were sins. God just overlooked because of the blood of the Lamb that covered it. But the moment they exchange God, they stop offering the sin offering. Because their new idol, their new God, doesn't require the offering of the sin offering. They require their children to be sacrificed. And that doesn't cover sin, my friend. Because every sin offering must point to Jesus Christ. And that's why it's a lamb. It's always domesticated animals and not a cheetah or a lion or a tiger. Okay, it must have the nature of Jesus. So now, instead of God sacrificing His Son, they are sacrificing their sons. So they change gods for idolatry and they stop sacrificing. The moment they did that, they went into captivity for 70 years. And you know something? When they came back after captivity, they never went back to idolatry. Never again. Now, for us, we went into captivity 2 years. But it cured us of a lot of things. And one thing that it cured us is this: we appreciate what we have. We always had it. It was always with us. But we appreciate it more. And even leaders at varying degrees appreciate what we have more. We appreciate even this building that God has blessed us with. We know the building is not the church, but I tell you, it's one heaven of a building. Amen? Amen? We thank God for places like MBS, where another group is meeting right now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? We thank God that we are able to afford that. We thank God for all the resources He has given us. We thank God for the people. The people resource is the best resource in the church. I thank God for all the leaders I have. I thank God for all the servers I have. I thank God for all the musicians I have. I thank God for every one of you. Amen. I appreciate you all even more. And I hope you all appreciate. Pastor Mark, Pastor Lawrence, Pastor Gabriel, even more. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's dive into the Word of God. Are you all ready? So remember this tendency to discredit what you have. You know, children have this tendency to discredit what they have, and then because they are children, but we are not. But sometimes we act like children. We crave what we can't attain, but we discredit what we have. For example, a child comes to the house, and the child sees a toy. A friend brought a child along to your house, and all of a sudden, your child is still young. The younger they are, they have this tendency. That shows that people who are immature have a lot of this tendency. So they have a toy lying around, and the new child saw the toy and wants to play with it. And all of a sudden, of all the multitudinous toys that are available in the toy room of this child that they visited, right? The very toy that the new child went for is the toy that this child wants to have. And then next thing you know, they start crying, right? There's a bit of fight, pulling and all that. Some of the parents get involved. So you see tendency that the toy is there, lying down there for the most part. They get used to it. They put it one side. When someone wants it, then that becomes a passion for them to want it. Husbands, appreciate your wife before somebody else does. Now I can do this, really. It's been a long time. Let me try again. Preach it, Pastor Prince. And you look good from the back as well. I can talk behind my back again. Hallelujah. It's like the husband almost like don't really notice all the beautiful virtues and the great traits that God has given his wife for him. Amen. But when somebody starts appreciating that, he starts feeling jealous. All of a sudden, he looks at his wife. Now he doesn't see a ama. Boy's mama. You know, a John's mama. Now he sees woman. Because a man wants her means she's now a woman. But all the while, she's a woman. Just that you don't see it. Amen? And of course, women, don't go for the new turkey. Turkey is male or female? Peahen, I know there's a peahen, turkey. Don't go for the guy. Amen? You feel flattered, but you know something? Flattery won't carry you far in a good relationship. Amen? But I think sometimes, you know, we have this tendency, we discredit what we have, we crave for what we can't have. Right? And this is what's happening again. That childishness comes up. It's of the flesh. And we're going to watch it. Amen? Pastor, are you preaching or not? Starting already. You don't know, man. I mean, you know, one of the best ways, I've said this many times, one of the best ways to do a marriage seminar is just to do it. If you advertise, right, marriage seminar this coming May, okay, May the 15th. What a great day to have marriage seminar, amen? Why? Because Israel's independence, 15 May, 1948. Okay, so if I advertise it, guess what? Many of the husbands who need to come won't come. It'll be the wives who come. And the wives will tell the husband what they heard. That the husbands are not interested to hear what the wives are saying that they should have heard. And then it is shared in such a way that the anointing is not there. It becomes a lecture. And the husband gets angry, not with the wife alone, but with the man who is supposed to have preached this at the conference. So I decided a long time ago that people who need to be there, right, might not be there. Those who really need to listen. The guys who are there are guys who want to learn more. Give me the word, man. Smack me with God's word once again. Old Testament also can. New Testament maps if available. Come on, give it to me. Amen. These are people who are hungry for the word. Amen. Like Pastor Mark, hungry for the word. Amen. Yes. So many of our people are hungry for the word. And these are people that attend every seminar. You say, we have a seminar for widows, they will attend. If I say, I got a special revelation from God for widows, they will attend. It's just because they're hungry. Amen. So how do you get those guys who really need to attend a marriage seminar? I decided a long time ago, you know, in our church, we're going to have marriage seminar. I mean, we have like special, you know, classes and all that. But you know something? Right? The best way is Sunday. Too late. Lock the doors. Praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lock the doors everywhere. Hallelujah. You are stuck. Amen. You're taught. We're going to teach, right? Yeah, the teaching started already. Amen? But I'm not going to teach on marriage today, okay? I want to share with you something that the Lord has put on my heart. And because of the lack of understanding this and watching over this, it's more of a warning today, as you can see, that the Lord cares and loves us. And He wants us to flow with Him and to flow with what He's doing. Amen? We need to know His ways. His ways are not religious. For example, religious, the more you do good things, okay, the more you give to the poor. And these are good things, giving to the poor and all that. But if you're giving to the poor so that you think that God will hear your prayer, that God will bless you, then you're doing it to obtain righteousness, which is the very antithesis of the New Testament gospel. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ says there's nothing you can do, or it's all based on Jesus Christ. He is your righteousness. We are justified by faith. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Just by having faith in Jesus Christ, amen, you are justified. How many think that's beautiful? It cost Jesus everything at the cross. He bore our sins, amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. By His wounds, we are healed. But it costs us just really nothing but to believe in the finished work. So when people say, I want to be religious, be careful, because when they say, I want to be close to God, yes, but do you have the information? Do you have the knowledge that is accurate, that's in line with heaven? With what God has for you. Amen? And one thing that you need to guard is in the area of your heart. So turn to your Bibles right now, to Proverbs chapter 4. Turn to your Bibles. Amen? You all brought your Bible? Let me see your Bible. Let me see your Bible. It's pathetic. Now that... Y'all still remember books or not? There once existed an object called books. Okay? You should bring your Bible to church. Amen? Better how small. I mean, your phone is okay, but the problem with the phone is that the Bible app is there together with so many enemies vying for its attention. So the moment you look at your phone, instead of look, your intention is You mean well. You are looking for that chapter and verse. You're looking for that chapter and verse, but the moment you open up, hey, there's a message. Come early morning of message. All right? Or ping, you know, it's a ping or something like that. And then before you know, you're distracted. But with this book, there's no distraction. It doesn't ping. It makes you ping. Amen. With power and enthusiasm, praise the Lord. Feeds you, amen. So, Proverbs 4 tells us, you're wondering why I didn't put it up there, right? I gave, Estee, the wonderful lady behind the scenes preparing the verses and all that. I gave her so many verses, more than 10 verses, except for this verse. This is called being led by the Spirit, y'all. Proverbs 4 verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Is it interesting? God says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Does that mean that every day you take God's word like that? You'll be walking over cats, bumping into lampposts. Amen? Of course not. So, do not let them depart from your eyes is what? Your vision. Amen? Now, you're saying, what was the result, Pastor Prince, of doing this? Keep on reading. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Notice what you see will go into your heart. So first of all, attend to God's word. How do I do that? This is God's medicine bottle. How do I do that? All right, I attend to it. I incline my ear to God's sayings. That's the ear gate. Say ear gate. All right, hit somebody and just nudge somebody and say ear gate. They say, huh? If they say, huh, their ear gate is definitely closed. All right, either the gate is closed or there's something clogged up inside. All right? All right, so the next one is keep them, do not let them depart from your eyes. Now look at somebody and say, eye gate. Eye gate. Watch your eye gate. Your eye gate, what you see. What you hear, what you see. And then the next one is keep them in the midst of your heart. This is how things enter your heart. It is always through your eye gate and your ear gate. So God gave me this word for you all. Guard your heart. Because the next one says, look at the result. If you allow God's word, if you pay attention to God's word, you incline your ear gate to God's sayings, and you open your eye gate to God's word, not any other human word that brings fear and depression. And if you do that, God says the result is it will drop into your heart. That's only then, and only then, they are life to those who find them and health to how much? All their flesh. What a promise. What medicine. You know, when you're sick, right? You gotta take this medicine, and then you gotta take this medicine. And the doctor say, by the way, you gotta remove your phlegm by taking this cough syrup, right? But by the way, the inflammation that caused your cough and all that has got to be removed by this pill. But if you take this pill, it might cause gastric. So we prepare something for gastric. So the thing that he prepared for gastric to stop the inflammation thing from becoming gastric into your stomach, the thing that was prepared, does the thing also have a side effect? So you're going to have a side effect for the thing that had the side effect for the side effect. Okay? And we all still take it. Why? It's the best this side of heaven. It's the best this side of heaven. Amen. So this is God's natural gift. Are you listening? But there is a every good and perfect gift. So it is under the category of good. But there's every good and perfect gift. Is from the Father above. Comes down from the Father of lights. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of healings, for example, like it has operated before, right? And just as I share the word, sometimes the gift of healing explodes in someone's body. And the person says, where's that pain? It's gone. I came here with a headache. It's gone. I came here with gastric and it's gone. That is a gift of healings operating. Amen? So, we thank God for all these instruments and all that and means by which we can facilitate the healing. Actually, it helps our body. Our body is the part that God has made, the immune system and all that. And it's only assisted right? With the symptoms most of the time. So you keep the symptoms down and your body can fight the thing. So, but it's still natural. At the end is the Word of God. It's the only medicine this side of heaven, all right, that God has given us, that we can hold in our hand. That's why I'm saying, whenever you hold the Bible, you're holding a piece of heaven. Amen. It is God's grace gift to us. God's instruction manual. The manufacturer's handbook. And it's the only medicine that says health to all their flesh. All. When you take God's word, like you're taking right now, it is health to all your flesh. Amen. No side effects. Oh yeah, there is lah. You become joyful. You're filled with joy unspeakable. Amen. Peace that passes understanding. You cannot describe it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I love the Apostle Paul because he's an example of how believers should be. He was so full of joy, so full of peace, that when he was standing in a Caesarea as a prisoner, he was bound with chains. And so they told him to come up. All right, the king is here. Let us hear what you say. Amen. And he says that, hey people, I want you all to know, no? I think myself happy. I love it. I think myself happy. He says, I consider myself a happy person. All right. And I want you all to be as I am, except for these bonds. I want you all to be like me, except for these chains. I don't want that for you all. Be like me. Even though I'm a prisoner, I'm happy. Amen. So that's God's dream, amen, for His people to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. So all that we are learning is to become a Christian who is joyful, with joy unspeakable, peace that passes understanding, and a radiant personality. Amen. Smile at your neighbor and say, you're going to be a radiant person. A radiant. Say radiant. You don't, you know something, right? You honestly, you can be the most prettiest person, right, that people have looked at physically and become like an empty shell after people talk to you. There's no personality. There is a bit of vindictiveness. There's vanity. There's pride. There's, you know, and also some people are turned away. It's not radiant. But I'll tell you something. Sometimes people's looks are plain, but when they are radiant, they attract people. People want to be with them. Amen? That's why I love this word, radiant personality. God wants you to have a radiant personality. It's part of evangelism. Amen? You shall be witnesses. What does that mean? That means your very persona is a witness to the world that you are saved. Amen. So we are battling all this to come to this place. You have the vision? All right. So watch this now. God says, before it can be life to you and health to all your flesh, it's got to go through your eye gate, your ear gate, and then drop where? Into your heart. That's the way God ordained it. Then it will manifest. Now, God didn't say, I give you health. No, take it. Right? That is the gifts of the Spirit operating. Amen? And God can do that. Right, of course. But God's norm for all of us is to receive from His Word. That's why we need to read God's Word every day. Give us this day our... Not weekly bread, not monthly bread, daily bread. Not just Sunday bread. Amen. Amen. Sunday you receive good word, but daily bread. Amen. So notice it enters your heart first. Okay, but what is the heart? That's a big question. Because the next verse says, guard your heart. Am I right? What does it say? Guard your heart? Someone talk to me. Let's all read together. Keep your heart with all diligence. Now, this is the New King James. Because... I studied mine in the old King James. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Can you see it? Guard your heart with all diligence. And in the Hebrew, it is like this. The Hebrew, with all diligence, comes first. It's like with all your guarding, guard your heart. Because out of your heart come the issues, the forces of life. Amen. Guard your heart. We got our children. We got what they eat. We got what they study. Amen. We got our finances. We make sure that we got, so many of you, a stock market, you know, what's happening. We got the movements and the fluctuations of the market. We got these things. We got all the while thinking that these things will guide us. Guide us, our financial well-being or our health or whatever. But let me tell you this, God is saying, where it really, really matters, where you need to guard above all your guarding, guard all these things by all means, guard all these things, but they are all outside. God says, actually, the only way you can guard, the only thing you can guard is your heart. In a world where there's no more privacy, you do not know whether your phone is being tapped or there are people, you know, all over the world, there's scammers trying to hack into your phone and things like that. So privacy is really a lost commodity. Amen. I mean, it's something that we have to fight for. The only privacy you have, my friend, is your heart and your mind in these last days. Right? Your heart. Amen? So you protect your heart. No one should enter there. Only the Holy Spirit. Amen? Christ in you. Don't let anything into your heart. So what is the heart, Pastor Prince? Now, I was taught, all right, that your heart is your spirit. But it's not true. As time went on, I realized that even in the Greek, the words are different for both. Spirit is pneuma. In Hebrew, ruach. Right? And the word for heart in the Greek is cardia. Right? We use that in English as well. Cardia. Cardia. Cardia is heart in Greek. And Greek New Testament. Old Testament in Hebrew, heart is lev. Lev. Which I suspect is where the word for love comes from. Amen. Lev. Lev. L-E-V. Lev. Okay? So, you see, the word is different. Amen? The word for heart and the word for spirit. Spirit is ruach. So, your heart is not your spirit. I know we are tripartite. That means I'm a spirit. I live in a soul. That's my mind. And I live in I'm housed in a body. I dwell in a body. My body is my house. Check your neighbor. Look around you, amen. Look at all the houses, how it's painted. Oh, some of them are painted. You know, the windows are really painted blue, and some of them got, you know, flying window. What do you call that? I don't know what is that. It goes up and down like that, you know. And you stand in front, you feel the breeze. You know what I'm saying? All right. And some look at the roofs. The roofs, all kinds of colors: brown roofs, dark brown. All right. And some are blonde, amen. And some just don't care about roof. Amen. But this is the temple of God. Hallelujah. So look at your neighbor and say, this is not you. Just say, this is not you. This is your house. And the Bible calls it that way. It's our house. Amen. And by the way, you've only one house. This side of heaven. Take care of it. Don't check out. You check out, no more house. In heaven, you have to wait for the rapture for you to have a new house. Amen. But it's only one body. Take care of it. But it's your house. Your house is not you. You are a spirit. Say, I'm a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. So where's the heart? Where's the heart? Spirit connects God with God. Soul connects with your surrounding. Amen. Body, physical connects with physical. And notice, nothing to do with the spirit. So, body and soul has nothing to do with spirit. So, where's the heart? So, someone said, well, to believe the heart is to believe your spirit, man. I found out that it's not. When Jesus says, shall not doubt in his heart, he's not referring to the spirit. He's referring to something that you're about to learn today. You ready? Sometimes, you can understand something better, not by its definition, like cardia, all right? Left, all right? You can actually learn it by what it does. You recognize. Like, for example, the wolf and the dog. Nighttime, full moon, the dog doesn't howl the way a wolf howls. It is very eerie, hair-raising, spine-tingling. You can tell by what it does that it is not a dog. It's a wolf. Looks like, but it's not. So, something you can know something by what it does. What does a heart do? By that you know your heart. And God says what? Guard your... With all your guarding, guard your heart. If you guard your heart, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. He didn't say, got your family, got your finances, got your health, got everything outside. No, he says, if you got your heart, I will got everything outside. Your part, your only part is don't allow your heart to get troubled. You hear bad news, quote that verse under your breath. Let not your heart be troubled. Got your heart. Got your heart. Amen. So the Lord told me, tell the people, got their heart. So what is the characteristic of the heart? How can I recognize this part is my heart? So let's look at the Bible. Let's go to the very beginning. And Genesis chapter 6. We have it here. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that's the reason God brought the flood. Okay, here you see that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. Why didn't he just say, and every evil thought in his heart? That would suffice. Shorter. It says, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. And the word imagination, remember this word, like put this in your spirit. Amen. This word here, of course, it's in Hebrew because it's in the Old Testament. The word imagination is the word yetzer. Say yetzer. Very easy to remember. Associate something you know. Yes, sir. Right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right? Yetzer. Now, this is noun. Yetzer in the Hebrew is a noun. So, only God can see the heart. And God saw that the heart, the imaginations in the heart was evil, and God knew it's a matter of time it will manifest outside. Already, they were doing all kinds of wickedness. The Bible says, if you read later on, it says that it repented the Lord to see it made the Lord feel sad, grieved the Lord to see man wicked. Wickedness was rampant throughout the earth. Only God found Noah and his family, right? But where did it start from? The heart. The imagination of the heart. And God already saw the heart. Are you listening, people? And the word is what? Imagination? Yes, sir. Now, later on, after Noah's flood, all right, God saved Noah and his family, kept them in the ark, a picture of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why the word pitch within and without with asphalt, right? The word pitch there is atone in Hebrew. It is atone and covered well and tight within and without the ark. Amen. So Noah and his family was safe in the ark. So even sometimes, there are people who teach like you can be safe and still be lost. No. You know, every time that Noah or any of his family member fell, maybe the wave was a bit too strong, they fell in the ark. They never fell outside the ark. And my friend, it wasn't they who closed the door. The Bible says the Lord shut the door. And when the Lord shut the door, it was to secure all their people in. His people in. Amen. They are kept safe. Hallelujah. Are you with me so far? Amen. You are safe forever. Even you fail, you fall here and there. You fall in the ark. You never fall out of the ark. Some people say, I'm just holding on to Jesus outside the ark. I'm just holding on to Jesus. Amen. No, you are lost. If you're outside, you're lost. And no amount of your doing can save you. Amen. Are you with me so far? So later on, after the flood came to an end and Noah and his family came out, amen. I love it. You know, when God says, come into the ark, God says, come into the ark. God is the first one in, inviting them in. When God told them to go out, he says, go out of the ark. That means he's the last one to say go. Or else he's outside saying come. But no, he says go. First one in, last one out. That's leadership. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. Yeah. One reason I preach to your life, you better give me a good response, okay? Amen. Right. Because I don't want to be preaching better than your response. Amen. You think about it. You don't have much, you know. You just have like, at the most, 1 hour. Pastor Prince, come on. 1 hour, you. Okay. 110, 110, 115, one, you know. Right. And you're getting God's word. What am I giving you? I'm giving you what? For your eye gate, for your ear gate, what's going in? God's word. Not that will cause you to be depressed. It will give life to you and health to all your flesh. You should get very excited.
Amen. You should shout, scream, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Don't be so dead you can't shout that deadness away. Come on. Now you gotta shake yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord, like Samson. I shake myself like times before. That means that tells us before the anointing of power and might comes on him, there's a shaking going on. He shake himself. Why? Shake himself of the dust of the earth. Shake yourself from the dust, oh daughter of Zion. No, captive daughter of Zion. The way you get out of captivity and you're a daughter of Zion, a daughter of God, the way you do that is shake yourself from the dust, from the devil's foot. Amen. You try to clutter on you, you know, thoughts and depressed thoughts, and you watch the news and then you look at social media and then the news, social media. You know, then your friend tell you, yalo, 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 it's true. Then you watch the Netflix or whatever, there's a lot of negativism. The whole thing thrives on negativism. All right? They only resolve it at the end. Something at the end also very negative. All right? They didn't end up together, you know? So, you know, or things like that, you'd get more depressed, you know? Oh, I wish I didn't watch that show, you know? And then Pastor Mark calls you. Right? Now, Pastor Mark is a joy bringer. Some things bring joy, Pastor Mark, just by being. Like puppies, they don't have to perform. Just by being themselves, you love them. Little children, just by being. Flowers, just by being. And you, just by being. Love you, bro. Love you, bro. All right. The imagination is, watch this, Yetzer is used again when Noah built the ark after the flood. And for the first time, the Bible says, use this expression, God says, I smell sweet perfume. Let's look at the verse. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Why? It reminds him of Jesus. That sacrifice reminds him of his son. Every time you remind God of his son, then that's what worship is. And then God smells a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination, Yetzer, of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Although the imagination of man's heart is only evil continually. And this word is Yetzer. Notice God could say, man's heart is evil enough. We understand. We can understand that, right? But God's purpose was the imagination of man's heart, the Yetzer. Now you say, Pastor Prim, why talk about that? Remember Ephesians 1? Look at Ephesians 1. The prayer, I told you the prayer last year. Paul says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him. How does the spirit of wisdom and revelation operate? How many want the spirit of wisdom and revelation? Amen. Amen. And don't forget, God gave wisdom to a young man called Solomon, and he became the wealthiest man that ever lived, and still up to date, wealthier than even Elon Musk. Amen. If you look at considering all the inflation rates and all that, he's the richest man. All that he received from God is wisdom. And there are five things that wisdom gives you, right? Length of days, riches, honor, pleasure, peace. Don't forget that. And this is found in the book of Proverbs. Amen. And this is what people want. Praise the Lord. Wisdom gives you that. The spirit of wisdom. When you ask God for wisdom, and the spirit of wisdom operate, and Paul's saying, pray for this every day. Pray, pray, pray. Paul says, I pray this prayer for you. That the spirit of wisdom and revelation operate. How does it operate? Operate like this. I pray that the eyes of your heart have eyes. Your heart have eyes. Your eyes, the eyes of your heart speaks of what? Vision, imagination. So we have seen something here. When you say guard your heart, guard your imagination. And that's why when Jesus says things like, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her. It's already the act. Imagination is the act. But what do you think the guy is thinking of? The guy is thinking in words, I am committing adultery with this woman. No, it is imagination. And to Jesus, imagination is the deed. But you see, imagination is out there. You know, it's like, something, it's not real, you know, it's just in my mind. I'm just imagining. No, with God, imagination is creative. Let me prove that to you. I told you Yetzer, right? The word for imagination, Yetzer. Guess where it first appeared? It didn't appear as imagination. Same Hebrew word, same spelling. I've been showing you the noun of the word Yetzer. What, you want to see the verb? When God used it as a verb, Yetzer, same spelling, Yetzer. You know when it appeared? In Genesis 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Which part of this is Yetzer? God formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Which one is Netzer? Yetzer. Form, my friend, is something. In fact, the word here in the Hebrew means to squeeze into shape, like a Play-Doh, right? Literally, the action is a verb. The verb form of all the nouns that I gave you just now from Noah's story, right? All that's noun, yetzer noun, in noun, and this one is in verb. And notice that it is something to do with creating, formulating. So imagination, my friend, to God, is creative. Long before we have a crowd of this size in our church, I had a dream when our church was small. I saw all of you, and I love you before I... You know the song, I Met You? I saw you all in my vision. And the best time to practice all these godly imaginations and powerful imaginations and positive imaginations is during time of prayer. So one of the best exciting prayers like this, you pray and see what the Holy Spirit brings up to you. And you pray, you walk the floor, you walk somewhere in the park or whatever, you say, Father, thank you, Father, I'm praying for my son. As you pray for your son, be alert to the pictures that come up. That's how the Holy Spirit speaks. And that's why the Bible says, in the last days, it shall come to pass, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. What is dream? Dream is visions when you are sleeping, when your physical eyes are closed. Vision is when your physical eyes are open. They both are pictures. God speaks through pictures. But we are so much in our minds, we think in terms of words. When God said, meditate on my word, we meditate on the word literally, and that's fine. But God has pictures. God's word is, the Bible is chock full of pictures. Even in Psalms, talking about meditation, he tells you, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You can see a lot of water, not just one water or one river. Rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither. Can you see it? His leaves shall not wither. No brown leaves. Amen. All green leaves. His leaves shall not wither. There's no such tree. This animal doesn't exist on planet Earth. But it's God's vision for you. You're going to live a supernatural life. Supernaturally, perennially green. Amen. Forever young. Hallelujah. Green. His leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever! So can you see it? Can you see it? When you go to work and you see yourself, I'm all green, amen. I'm healthy, always young, I'm strong. I see myself like a tree planted. Planted means I didn't plant myself. Planted, passive. Someone planted me, the Lord. Hallelujah. By where? The rivers of water. And I don't care if it's famine time in the world. I don't care if the world says not enough, amen. It's time of inflation and hyperinflation, whatever it is. I know that I'm not planted where the world is planted. I'm in the world, but not of the world. I'm planted by the rivers. And whatsoever, I love that. God does not exaggerate. God's word is truth. When God says whatever he does, prospers. Even my mistakes, whatever is whatever. Imagine going to work, meditating on that word. But what are you meditating? Words? No, you are saying. And you are saying, I'm that woman, I'm that man. By the time you arrive at work, whoa, you don't have that. You have a presentation or whatever. You don't have that fear. Whatever I do prospers. And you repeat that word. Whatever I do prospers. I'm like a tree planted, cared for. Not a tree growing wild by itself. Doesn't say a tree growing wild. Amen. Planted means someone care enough to plant it. Are you with me so far? So to God, when God formed Yetzer man, and he used the word Yetzer for imagination, he's saying Yetzer creates. It forms your life. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 12, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. You know, we teach about be careful what you say. Amen. What you say is what you get. Amen. That's how you get saved, right? You get saved by saying, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, right? Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth. So it's always heart, mouth, mouth, heart, mouth, heart, mouth, heart, mouth, okay? But which one comes first? Jesus says, your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It is not by talking a lot about God's word and then you hope you'll fill your heart. No. You fill your heart by spending time in the word, by reading, by filling your imagination. And that's why when you're not feeling well, spend a lot of time in healing scriptures. I have one myself where I just read and you just lie down there. Many times you don't feel like reading if you're not feeling well, right? Just listen to healing scriptures. Amen. Mine comes with a bit of rain because I believe that, you know, rain, God gave rain as a picture of more, latter rain, to bring forth the harvest. So just hearing it is very soothing. Amen. So there's water and then Pastor Prince's voice. Amen. If you think you like to sleep under my voice, you'll want this healing scriptures. Amen. What was the idea? The idea is to listen to all the verse until your insight becomes a new picture. It's not what the doctor tells you, the worst case scenario. And they have to tell you sometimes what's the worst case scenario. But unfortunately, the many times the worst case scenario becomes the only scenario you can look forward to. And that's not hope. Hope is a positive expectation of good in your future. And you think about the consequence of this disease. You think about the worst case scenario. Why? Your heart is not filled. And you're saying that, no, I got my heart. I got my heart. You do not know what is the heart. How can you guard it? You say you're guarding your heart, but your imagination is full of lust. Your imagination is full of pessimism and depression. You're looking at the worst case scenario. You're not guarding your heart. And the devil, what is the devil after then? Your heart. Now, it's creative. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh my goodness, time. I bind this clock. Can you believe that? It's an intro, friend. It's intro. Oh yeah, we talk about 3 hours, right? So, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. So, I see good things in your life. I ask you the question, where did all these good things come from? You are at a loss. Many Christians are at a loss, right? But actually, the good things come from your heart. Now, we know it's from God, finally. Because your heart is all just nothing but empty without Jesus. But then you receive the vision from God, from His Word, and it fills your heart. A good man out, say out.
Out.
Say out of.
Bring forth.
So the good things come from where? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So right now there's a battle going on in the world. The devil knows this principle as well. So he tries to fill your heart. And that's why the very first sin ever recorded in the Bible that caused all the sins of man to come forth. The fall of man in the garden. What did the devil say to Eve? He painted a picture. So much so that Eve actually, before she even tasted the fruit, she actually saw that the tree was good. How does she know? She saw the tree was good. Saw the tree was good means she imagined eating it. Look at this. When a woman saw the tree was good, she saw the tree was good without eating it. That it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Of course, we all know that these eyes being open is not physical eyes. They already had physical eyes. She could see the tree, right? She can see her husband. She can see all the animals. So these eyes being open is spiritual eyes. Spiritual eyes. Here, God wants their spiritual eyes to be opened by the other tree, the picture of Christ, tree of life. Amen. They should have opened their spiritual eyes by the tree of life, but they opened their spiritual eyes to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and now they see their shortcomings. They were naked. Actually, they were not naked. If you read carefully the way God made man, all have sinned and forfeited the glory of God. The Bible says God has crowned man with glory and honor, and glory is a stronger clothing than the best silk clothing or linen or whatever it is. You know, the man was completely like in a golden halo. It's a clothing. God crowned man, and the word crown there is a surrounding crown, like an aura. I don't know aura because it's been used by this, you know, the New Ages and all that. It's like a man is completely radiant, and this radiance is a protection as well. But when man sinned, whole thing disappeared. That's what it means. Man forfeited the glory of God. Jerusalem Bible. Man forfeited. Your Bible says, if you come short of the glory, the glory just disappeared. But Jesus came and gave us back the glory. Amen? And there's a glory surrounding you. Are you listening? So, she imagined eating. She imagined. We don't know how long it took. The more you imagine, you fantasize about another person's husband, another man's wife, you know, you keep on doing that kind of thing, doesn't mean you end up with a person. You end up with some destruction in your future. Either your marriage is destroyed, something is destroyed. Adultery destroys. So Jesus says to Jesus, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already. The imagination is the deed. Are you with me so far? This is amazing. So God told Abraham, after Lot left him, right? And God told Abraham this, Abraham, look north, look south, look west, look east. All that your eye can see, I will give it to you. And then God says something very, very strange. God says, arise, go walk through, listen, walk. Arise, walk through the length of it, the breadth of it, for all this land I have given to you. But the next verse says, then he built a camp. He didn't walk. Look at this portion here, right? God said, arise, walk in the land through its length. God says, first of all, see, right? Arise, walk in the land through its length. I give it to you. Then Abraham moved his tent and dwelt by the oak trees of Mamre in Hebron. He didn't walk through the length, through the breadth. He stayed somewhere. Abraham knew God is referring to what? Walk in your imagination. Visit the north. See yourself possessing it. Go to the south in Beersheba. See yourself possessing it. The north, you see yourself walking on the Golan Heights. You see yourself enjoying Galilee. And see the south, Beersheba, luscious, fertile, where sheep can graze. It's a plentiful field for sheep and all. Look at the Mediterranean Sea, the west. You can go swimming there. See yourself swimming. See yourself enjoying, amen, all the fruits that come from a Mediterranean kind of diet. You know, Mediterranean diet is considered the healthiest diet that come from there. Go. See yourself involved in all these things. Can you see it? Arise, Abraham. Walk through the length of it. How? Imagination. All that you see, I give it to you, God says. All that you see, I give it to you. Amen. So right now, maybe you're at this age and recently you saw a photo of yourself when you were younger. You say, oh, that's the best period of my life. I look so good. I look so good. Yo, I look so good. Cute. Amen. So you got that photo and you feel so strong, great sense of vibrancy and vivacity, and you feel so alive. You got a picture of that? Right? Take that picture out. Print it. Put it somewhere. Amen. Thank God for it. And keep on looking at that picture. And tell the Lord, that is your land. That is what God wants you to possess or repossess. Amen. Amen. Now, if you can, don't find somebody else's picture. Because it takes greater, it's, you know, your faith can believe for yourself because you were there before, you know. But you take someone else's picture, you take Pastor Lawrence's face, the muscles and all that. You all heard Pastor Mark share before, right? That he used this principle, right? He took a bodybuilder, but then you cut off the head, is it? You did cut off the head. Did you cut off the head? No, you left the head. At least superimpose your head, lah. Lawrence, do you do that? Yeah, you cannot superimpose the head. It'd be too small for the body. But then his wife came into the room and into his bathroom. He has a picture of this bodybuilder. He always said, "That's my body. That's my body." And you know something? It was one of the healthiest period of his life, strongest period of his life. And I think you were hitting 50 at that time, right? And he was, you know, feeling down, and so he was feeling like tired. So he started looking at it, and the more he looked at it, the more energy he had. And the wife didn't understand. The wife went in, and the wife said, "What's that?" Use some Chinese word, lah, okay? Well, you're very confident, huh? Let your wife say this kind of man. Huh? Very secure. So every day he says, "That's me, that's me, that's me." Amen? Right, so if you want to use a bodybuilder, you know, at least put your face there. Different things, but don't go crazy and get carnal and say, I put a Ferrari here, a Rolls Royce here, and a big house here and all that. This is not about houses and about, you know, I mean, the principles is the same. Yes, yes. I can tell you of testimonies of people who receive material things even. The very thing that they saw, all right? But more than anything else, amen, it's for your life. You know, if you talk the Bible, the pictures the Bible gives most of the time is all pictures of your family. And let me close with this, okay? I just got started, you know? Let me finish the verse in Ephesians first. Ephesians 1 again. So God says, I pray that the eyes, Paul is praying. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So notice the eyes of your heart. So the way the spirit of wisdom operates and revelation is like through the eyes of your heart. I see it. You know when you talk to people and then when they understand you, sometimes they don't see it, they understand, right? What do they say? I see, right? Doesn't mean they see physically. They see it inside, right? That's how the spirit of wisdom operates. I just know it. Pastor Prince, how do you know? I just know it. Can you teach me? That's the problem. I have to pray for the spirit of wisdom to come on you the way Paul prayed. And if Paul had to pray for it and Solomon has to pray for wisdom, what makes you think that you don't have to? But the way it operates, you need to know how it operates. It operates by the eyes of our heart being enlightened. Another thing that I want to share with you real quick is this. When you pray for people or you pray for yourself, like I said just now, even in the privacy of your room or whatever, you're walking around, "Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father God." And you're praying over your wife's health or lady, she's not been feeling well. You pray for her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And all of a sudden, the Lord begins to bring up fears. You know, you can even see her sometimes. The Holy Spirit bring up that she was a child, a fear came in. And you say, "In the name of Jesus, I bind that fear. In the name of Jesus. And I free her from that fear." And you go on praying again and being alert to the pictures that come up. It's very exciting to pray that way. What is God saying? That the sickness that she has right now, the root of it is the fear. And now you dealt with the fear. Or you pray for your son who is very depressed, very morose, hide himself in the room, not just in Jesus' name, I come against depression. Sometimes God wants to go deeper. But you just pray and be alert to the pictures that come up. And there'll be pictures coming up. Sometimes it's just a picture showing his future. He's smiling. He's outdoors. He is tan and enjoying the sun and he's happy, no more depressed. And he said, "Father, I thank you. That's my boy. That's my boy. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I see him that way, Lord, as Jesus is So is he in this world. He is free. I see him free from depression. That is prayer, my friend. Prayer is not just, I ask you this, I ask you for that, I ask you for that. Usually it's a more desperate kind of thing. The substratum of that kind of prayer is based on fear. No, God wants you to just learn the language of the Holy Spirit. And I just got started. Ah, so unfair. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is it possible to do this part one here? And then the next service is part two. Two different services. Cannot. Amen. One last picture to give you, and then you can take this as your homework. All right? Like I said, God always have pictures of family, family success and all that. Look at Psalms 144 real quick. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style. What is God doing with all this? Details. Giving you pictures to fill your heart with. Because the world is always, listen. The world is always giving you pictures. The way you overcome a negative picture is, I won't think of that. The more you don't think of that, the more you think of that. Like, don't think of a pink elephant. Don't think of this elephant that is pink. Pink elephant. Don't think of it. Don't. Guess what you are thinking, right? So the way to overcome a negative imagination is to have a better imagination. And whenever a negative imagination comes, right, that's your clue to switch. Take it as a blessing. Not a blessing, but working out for good in that it reminds you to imagine rightly. Amen. You see a dark future, all of a sudden you see, praise the Lord, my leaf is green. How can I end up in the early grave? My leaf is green. At this age, I'm still green. Amen. I'm like the old hymn says, forever young. Amen. Because always, his leaf shall not wither means always green. Praise the Lord. So our daughters, you say, what kind of picture to have of my daughter? What kind of picture? Look at her like a pillar. And those days, they are familiar with the pillar of Solomon, right? It's like adorned, pomegranate's beauty. Stately, the pillar is straight. She, her posture, her beauty, her shape, you know, and best of all, her character and all that is princessly. Like the child of God, she is. My daughter is a sculptured pillar, palace style. My sons, my son as plants grown up in their youth. You know what it means? Grown up in their youth. That even though they are in their youth, they are grown up. I like what Young's literal translation says. It says, becoming great in their youth. We all say that you become great when you have gray hair. Once, you know, I think by the time you get gray hair, you should be great, all right? You should be wise, right? But it's called a school of hard knocks. But it's not true also. There are also old people and very grumpy, you know, very stressful, very troubled in their hearts. Okay, but our young people, believe your children that he will be great in his youth. Already mature in his youth. Grown up in his youth. See, there's a picture right there of your family. Drop down. Our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields. You see that? All right. That means what? Prosperity. I don't know how else to describe this. Pastor Prince, you said that word, the P word. What word? The P word. You don't say that in church or else they will call you a prosperity cult. Okay. I didn't say it. Okay. I revoke that word prosperity. I just tell you this, lah. Right, God wants your barns to be full, supplying all kinds of produce. Your sheep don't bring one, two, three, four. Thousands. And not only thousands, also 10,000 in our field. The picture. Have that picture. In those days, it is husbandry and you know they work with animals and they are shepherds and all that. And this means prosperity for them. Right? Drop down. That our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry. And this word outcry is the word complaining in our streets. You will live in Praise Avenue. You have moved away from Grumbling Street next door to Complaining Alley. You left your house. You're now parked. All of you in Jesus' name, you are parked at Praise Avenue. When good things happen, you say hallelujah. When bad things happen, you say hallelujah anyway. All things work for my good. Amen. Praise Lord. Give Him praise, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Just for a while, no one moving around, every head bowed and every eye closed. Perchance you are here or watching online and you have never made Jesus your personal Savior and Lord. I want to pray for you right now. It's very simple, like I said. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Actually, the very righteousness of faith teaching that Paul drew from was from the story of Abraham when he says, I see myself with no child. And God brought him out to see the stars. He believed in the Lord, just believed. And God imputed to him for righteousness. If that is you, wherever you are, friend, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And He bore your diseases, took your curse, and redeemed you from it. So that you can enjoy the abundant life that He came to give you. Forgiveness of sins, healing for all your diseases, redemption from destruction, renewal of youth like the eagles. If that is you, wherever you are right now, pray this prayer with me. Right, pray this. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, to die on that cross. He bore my sins and all my diseases. He was wounded for my transgressions, and by His wounds I have been healed. I thank you that on the third day you destroyed death and you raised Jesus from the dead. I thank you because He lives, I live also. Jesus Christ is my Lord forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Stand to your feet, church. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like singing, but bind that in Jesus' name. Lift your hands all across this place. We'll see you again, okay, this coming week. I might continue this series. The Lord bless you and your families with the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. Christ has redeemed you from every curse in Deuteronomy 28. And all the blessings keep on keeping on in your life, even throughout this week. The Lord make His face to shine on you and keep you and your loved ones. Preserve you and your families from harm, danger, from every sickness, from all the powers of darkness. And the Lord give you His smiling radiance into your life, that you will be a joyful, smiling, radiant person throughout this week. It starts this week. And the Lord grant you and your loved ones His shalom peace that guards your heart above all the guarding. And keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We'll see you again.
Well, about 2 years ago, I was just on my couch listening to Christian television and just happened to be flicking through the channels, and there was Joseph Prince. And he was speaking a message about grace, and I've been listening to him ever since, and I've fallen in love with Jesus all over again.
I'm a pastor's son, so, you know, I kind of got out of the way. And through his message, he had brought me back into the path where I should have been from the beginning.
So it's taken us from a real preoccupation with ourselves and given us just an incredible view of Jesus Christ, where we're more thankful, we're more energetic, and we feel just very free.
I used to condemn myself, be so hard on myself, but once I heard the message of grace, it's like, I love it. It's so free.
What you have just watched is a glimpse of the many lives that have been touched by the gospel of grace. This is what Gospel Partner is all about, sending the good news of Jesus Christ into the world to reach the last, the lost, and the least. Wherever the gospel goes, it brings victory, deliverance, breakthroughs, and miracles. If you'd like to partner with us and redeem your one-month free subscription to access more than 1,000 sermons, visit gospelpartner.com. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If your life has been touched by the gospel of grace, please share your testimony with us in the comments below. Once again, thanks for tuning in today, and I would appreciate it if you would share this sermon with someone who needs to hear it today. God bless you, and see you in the next episode.